Scripture lesson this morning is Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 22, as found in the Common English Bible. Feel free to follow along in your own Bible or on the screen. These are Noah's descendants. In his generation, Noah was a moral and exemplary man. He walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In God's sight, the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God saw that the earth was corrupt because all creatures behaved corruptly on the earth. God said to Noah, "The end has come for all creatures, since they have filled the earth with violence. I am now about to destroy them along with the earth. So make a wooden ark. Make the ark with nesting places and cover it inside and out with tar. This is how you should make it: 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for the ark and complete it 1 foot from the top. Put a door in its side. In the hole below, make the second and third decks. I am now bringing the floodwaters over the earth to destroy everything under the sky that breathes. Everything on the earth is about to take its last breath. But I will set up my covenant with you. You will go into the ark together with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. From all living things, from all creatures, you are to bring a pair, male and female, into the ark with you to keep them alive. From each kind of bird, from each kind of livestock, and from each kind of everything that crawls on the ground, a pair from each will go in with you to stay alive. Take some from every kind of food and stow it as food for you and for the animals." Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
That is an amazing story. How many of y'all remember that from your childhood? Raise your hand. Remember? Yeah. Did you ever think, wow, why? And so in the idea of God basically wiping out everything on the earth by a flood, and did you get the words? It said that the world was vastly corrupt. It was a bad place to be. But Noah and his family, who had faith, God saved, along with animals two by two. And so the challenge today is, how do you get from Noah and the flood to, we bought a zoo? So that's what I'm entrusted to do in less than 20 minutes. So we're moving, okay? So let's set Noah up a little bit. And so Noah really, I use this terminology because this came from business. So here's Noah, and God sets a major BHAG before Noah. Who knows what a BHAG is? Raise your hand. Okay, what's a BHAG? Can you say it out? Big, hairy, audacious goals. That's exactly it. When I think about Noah, I think it's a BHAG, and that's a big, hairy, audacious God goal. Okay? And so that's what's going on with Noah. And so God comes and speaks with Noah and says, "Noah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. I want it to be 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. I want you to make it this big, because when that water comes a flooding, there's going to be a place for you and those animals on it, and you're going to bring about a new day." And really, the story about Noah and the flood and the new day that ends in a rainbow is a story about God placing a goal for Noah that's much bigger than Noah was. And that's really what a BHAG is. It's a goal that's set up that's bigger than what you think you might be able to accomplish, but it stretches you further than what you thought you could go. And so God is in the business of helping set before us some audacious goals, some audacious dreams to make a difference in this world. We see it in Noah. And now we're going to see it in the people that bought a zoo. So in the first segment, I'm going to set this up. We bought a zoo, about a family, and it's a Benjamin Mee, who in it actually happens in Great Britain, I think. And he has two children, a little daughter and a son, like older than JP here. And so the son is tore up because their mother just died of cancer. And you see it in his drawings. They're very dark. Then you have the little girl, and she's got this positive face and a smile most of the time. But in the meantime, after the mother dies, the children and the dad are trying to figure out life. Because sometimes life is just bad. And you get dealt some bad hands. But you got to learn how to rise above that hand. And God gives us those ways to do that. And so that's the start. And so the dad is realizing they need to make a change, something new. So play this short segment.
It's a new day for you, Mr. Mee. We have a full day of house hunting planned, and I think you'll be very excited at what's available.
We just want new. We want new everything. New opportunities, new schools, just new.
In the current economic environment, you're going to find that now the buyer is not the king.
What I'm hoping for is like a big backyard, substantial, you know, just rolling hills.
It's going to be very hard to find rolling hills in the city. It's just not available.
They stationary hills. The hills don't have to roll, right, honey? Yeah. Just new.
You know what? It's all about new. People love new.
Do you love new? Can I hear a yes? Or in a church? Amen? There you go. And so we like new. You know, could you imagine if you were here when this sanctuary was first built and the beauty of the newness of it? And when people walk in anew, a family came in and they're going to have a funeral here. And they walked in and they were just like, wow. Sometimes we need new. When we've been trapped in a box, when we've been struggling with life, and we are just in a state of status quo, sometimes we feel the need to have something new. Problem is, sometimes we go buy a new car, and that only lasts for a couple days because the car gets dirty. We buy a house, but then we struggle when we make that mortgage payment. What I'm talking about is a newness that happens for something inside of here and here, not out there. And that's what God comes down to us to change lives and makes things new. And to me, that's part of the principle that the zoo starts to unfold as that family in trying to get out of its doldrums, its struggle, to get something new, to make a change. And God calls us to the new. Now the next segment, I think, is kind of fascinating. Go to the next segment.
It's great. I get it. This whole spiritual journey. We're all in cages, man. I love it. But at the risk of stating the obvious, you're insane. Okay? You're drilling yourself into insane debt.
Now, could you imagine Noah? Noah's up there building this big ark. And he's up there and one of his friends come by and says, "Hey, Noah, what you doing up there? Building an ark? What's an ark? It's a big boat. And it's going to carry all these animals two by two. And it's going to carry my family." He doesn't explain that, but that's what's going to happen. And so he says, "An ark, because God is going to bring rain on the fields here. And everything's going to drown. And it's going to save us." And could you imagine that person saying, "Really? An ark? God's really going to do that? And so when Benjamin, me, and the family buy the zoo, they start working on the zoo, and that was his brother there. And how many people do you encounter that when you're going and striving after something that you feel called to, that you feel like, this is what I need to do? How many people around you say, why are you doing that? Noah, why are you building an ark? Because God said so. And so we struggle. We want the new. We start going after the new, something that moves us inside. And people are out there at times ready to shoot that down. Do you feel that at times? And you got to rise above that. See, the cool thing about this movie is it has three levels to it. It has the family level, that they're cratering as a family. And they need something new, a change. And then the other is the zoo being repaired. And then finally the other is the dad, who's got to find a way to love again after his great love had died. And so on those three levels, and on a heart level, is changing. And did you get the word that the brother said? I get it. You're on a spiritual journey. I get it. I know it's getting out of the box. I understand that. When you heard that, you just want to go, you do not understand. Because you realize if you were in this church today, you are on a spiritual journey. If you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, you're on a spiritual journey every single day of your life, not just Sunday. And so that spiritual journey leads you to strengths and boldness and hopes far greater than what you can have just in yourself. Because what God calls you to is something bigger than just you. He calls you a godly BHAG, that goal of your life. Now in that though, struggles happen. And that's what this next section is all about. Go ahead and play the next one. I really like this one.
It's a shame about the new boss, huh?
He just got here and he's already thinking of quitting.
Why are you saying that?
That is the posture of a quitting man.
Love that scene. I imagine nobody in here except for me who has felt that way, right? That epitomizes what happens inside of us when we reach a segment in life that's just so difficult and hard we don't know how to get through it. For you see, what happened before this was there were some things that need to be done at the zoo, and it's going to cost $1 to $1.50. So the daughter hears this and says, I've got $1.50. And he says, well, you better go get that. And so she runs off. We know that it's $100,000 to $150,000. And he is short on funds. And so he's already pumped all this money into the zoo. And now he's got to pump more money into the zoo. And so just to see him kick things and all that stuff, sometimes I feel that way. Because you're trying to kick through the struggle. You're trying to get to the other side and realize and wrap around in your head. This week, I got to watch time. So this week, I got a call from the naval shipyard that I took my dad's ashes to be put out aboard ship. 7 months ago, I dropped his ashes off, haven't heard a stitch. And I found out Wednesday at 4 o'clock that his ashes were being put aboard ship to be sent out to sea. And I had to wrap my head around it. And it wasn't a kicking and screaming. It was like, wow, it's finally happening. And so sometimes when we're going after those big goals that God is asking us to do, we reach a point where we hit a crisis of faith. And in order to move through that crisis, we got to blow through that crisis. Sometimes we need to throw a little fit inside or go out and say, God, I mean, I can hear Noah saying, God, you want me to build an ark? How big? We go through that time, and I want you to know that's okay. You can throw a little fit. God's a big enough God to handle that. But sometimes those fits help move you beyond where you are and break you through to get to where God wants you to be. I think that's powerful. And so in this next segment, go ahead, draw it up. You're going to see a dialogue between father and son. They had an altercation earlier that the night before, and now they're joining together. It's a powerful scene. It's very stark. The other scene, I couldn't show it to you this morning, so this is the other part. So watch this.
What happened with you and Lily?
I don't know. I guess I didn't listen to something she told me or something. I mean, I liked her. It's like you embarrass yourself if you say something, and you embarrass yourself if you don't.
I like it when you talk. You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it.
How much time did he say? Who can tell me? 20 seconds. Can you say it with me? 20 seconds of insane, bold move to get you past. Have you had that before? When you were called to goals, to dreams, to move past and out of your bunker, and to change your life or help others change your life, sometimes it takes 20 seconds of bold courage to just get on out there. It took me 20 seconds of bold courage to ask Liz out for dinner when we first met. That was scary. But you know what I mean. Sometimes to burst out of where you are, you just have to go running out and say, I'm going to do this. It's hard as all get out, but let's break loose. In your own life, in the life of the church, because we are on a spiritual journey that God has called us all to be a part. And so this last segment is really about doing things for the right reason. So go ahead and play that.
So Ernesto and his friends are plastering posters everywhere within a 20-mile radius.
What happens if nobody comes?
What?
What happens if literally we did this whole thing for nothing?
Come on, give me a break. You've come this far. Huh?
We walk with lions.
Good aim. I'm going to say this one more time, buddy. I like the animals, but I love the humans. You do something for the right reasons, nothing can stop you.
Isn't that great? I did verify they were pouring iced tea. Okay? So just let her there pouring iced tea. So did you get what he said? And I like this because this is what I hear God saying. I think, I love the animals, but I really love the people. And in the case of Noah, God was making a change for the good for the world with Noah and the animals. But did you get the other part? When you're going for a dream, an appropriate dream, when you've been called out to have a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal from God, when you're called to do that, you know you're doing right when you're doing it for the right reasons. And that's what his brother was comforting him about. He's saying, Benjamin, me, it's going to work out the way it's going to work out. No matter the way it does, you did it for the right reasons. Don't worry about people not being here. You're going to have people here. And so that naysayer at the beginning became his advocate at the end. And I love that. Benjamin, keep dreaming. Do your 20 seconds of bold courage. And keep on moving. And I hear God in my mind say to me, and I hear him say to us, as First UMC Capel, keep dreaming. Keep going. Have 20 seconds of bold courage as individuals and as a church to make a difference in this world. God is calling all of us to a God-sized goal together. And in the end, show this picture. If you recall, what was the symbol that God used to Noah at the end of the flood? What's that? A rainbow. How many of y'all like looking at rainbows? I do. You know, I'm not into unicorns, but I do like the rainbows. Okay? So, at the end of the movie, Benjamin Mee is out there, and all these people have come to the zoo to experience it. And they're flying red flags. And at that point, he knew his wife, who loved, not flags, but kites, sorry. He knew his wife loved red kites. And it was a part of a spiritual journey that was satisfied in him that showed success. Much like the rainbow, God said, I'll never do it again. But in the end, the rainbow celebrated the goal of God. And God wants to celebrate in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks for what you call us to do, what you call us to be as your people and as your church. Lord, help us as individuals and as your church to have that 20 seconds of bold courage to make a difference in this world, to be on a spiritual journey together. Lord, we seek you and your grace amongst us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to dream big as individuals and as a church. And to move in that direction, that we may see the rainbow or the red kites or what other celebration we may have as we accomplish them. For it's in Christ's name we pray. We all say, Amen.